think I need to work on me because it hurts. To see every weekend me blowing my pace up. Always trying to impress these niggas with expensive ass alcohol I don't even like the taste of. I think it's sickening. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on January 25, 2026. Here's hoping that the power doesn't go out on me. I'm just checking the weather. Yeah, a snow shower and a yellow warning in the 613. What's a yellow warning? I'm not sure. I don't think it's that severe. Anyways, it's snowing. There's a lot of shitload of snow on the East Coast, but you're not going to be affected because if the power goes out, this ain't a live show. The power, you know. All right, okay. I forget I'm not a weatherman. Quick disclaimer, today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. I should also add that for all you regular listeners, if you notice a difference in my voice or the energy might be a little different than what you're used to, it's because I'm still recovering from that cold. The cold's gone. The energy's back. But my throat is a casualty of the war of, yeah. I feel like a singer who gets on stage and tells you about their cold. And yes, I didn't drink tea. And I'm hoping to have it's still going to be a good show. And then I won't be doing the high notes. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a good thing you guys don't log in for my voice. All right, so got that out the way. I continue with tradition. Shout out to all you listeners. And before we do anything, please applaud yourselves. You. Yes, I like to start with this little ritual. And I ask to applaud yourself because if you're my target audience, you're the kind of person who neglects applauding their own selves. You applaud everyone else except your own selves. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! I mean, that includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Feel free to stick around. Here's hoping that if you do stick around, that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. Quick reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. I guess this is the part where I would say like and share, but I don't do that. Maybe I should, but I'm not there yet. I don't feel like it's appropriate. Episode 320, title still to be determined, but in this episode, I'll be, we're going to keep it simple, man. Two topics is one, we're going to talk about a concept of club economics and followed by a quick mental health check, a brief quick mental health check, like a PSA, all right? But before we do any of that, We're gonna start with some quotes and some randomness. God damn it! Yeah, I gotta be careful on going with these high voices because then I'm trying to avoid coughing, which I usually do. All right, okay. So, first quote. Or saying, or however you want to call it, stole this from Reddit, and it goes, there is so much power in believing that everything will work out, even when you don't know how or when. You just believe that it will. I love that saying, or quote, or whatever the fuck, but it's one of those, I wonder what it's like. My therapist, what's the word she used? What is your, I think I need to Google it, but she said, for 2026, what's your intention for this year? I am not sure what she means by intention. She explained it, but I didn't fully understand. But I guess what I'm trying to say is being closer to that guy, being closer to the kind of person who, being closer to having that power of believing everything will work out, even though I don't know how. Because, I love to panic. Oh, my God, I'm that guy. Yes, if you want to learn how to panic, if you need a tutorial on how to freak out, I'm the guy to talk to. But for a limited time, again, like I said, I'm hoping to be the guy who believes. Don't stop. Yeah, believing. All right. Next quote is by Carl Jung about loneliness. And it goes, loneliness does not come from having no people around you, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to you. Loneliness is rarely about empty rooms. It is about carrying words you cannot say and truths you do not feel safe to share. Healing is learning to speak what matters most so you are no longer alone with it. This is the work of letting yourself be seen and known for who you really are. Wow. Wow. Okay. The more I think about it, then this podcast is an attempt to get out of this loneliness then. Sorry, I'm just realizing that you're going to hear some, you know, as a speaker, you shouldn't apologize for this. Just talk. But bear with me. Yes, that's thank you, Mr. Carl Jung. All right, that's it for quotables. Did I say quotes? I meant to say quotables. That's it for quotables. Let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Hot take, and I don't care who I piss off. I'm going to need every woman to stop holding her body image to a standard that was set by men who are attracted to teenagers.
Message! Yeah, I heard that. The reason I'm sharing this one is, let me tell you. I keep forgetting to credit the content creator. Got it off TikTok, and her name is Riker in the Six Official. You're from Toronto? Riker in the it doesn't matter. All right, that's a powerful saying what she had to say, and it's accurate. Two, it's I just had this theory. I was thinking about after hearing this, I was thinking about the reason. I have the theory that the reason why some men are attracted to younger women. And I mean, like, significantly younger. I mean, like, father-child type relationship. Aside from the domination part, it also allows them to, well, it's part of their inability to accept that they're getting old. And maybe it's a known thing for you, but I feel this. It's to continue the illusion that they're still the young guy from high school or for whatever part of their lives they felt was the best part of. It's like a way to stay in that time frame. It's like a way to freeze time. And the reason this came to mind is I remember, I'm aging. I'm getting older. But I remember there was a time where as I was getting older, I was looking at women the same way I was looking at them when I was a young adult. It's like everything about me got older, but that part on how I look at women hadn't adjusted. It's like I forgot that, hey, dude, you're the old guy in the club. Not that I didn't go to the club as an old guy, But I can see the trap of forgetting to recalibrate your, what's that word? Prospects. Because I was looking at younger women and the older women as, no, those girls are too old. Like I was still a child. Like they're cool. And you know what? I think when it finally hit me when I was a porn, I had a figure, right? And I'm and the MILF in the cougar section, I'm like, wait a minute. Those are chicks. Like it was just a matter of time before I saw a classmate in the MILF, GILF, cougar section. You know what I mean? like it's getting, you know, getting, anyway, whatever. But anyway, yo, getting back to what she was saying, it also had me thinking that how much I felt sorry for any woman out there or a young woman out there who's based her entire identity or their entire looks on the taste of despicable men. Do you know what I mean? I guess the flip side, I could say the same because I'm thinking of all the times where I was trying to attract toxic women, ratchet pussy, or chicks that I won't use the word out of my league, but we were definitely not compatible. We different aspects, but I'm just look, man, know thyself. All right. And while I'm on the topic, yeah, release the Epstein files. I mean, for the sake of, like, at this point, I'm like, Trump, what the fuck are you scared of, man? You've, like, beaten everything. What could possibly be in that file that would mess you up that Melania doesn't know already? That your kids... Release it, man. Just put it out there, man. Just get that shit out the way. Fuck, man. Quit being a little bitch. All right.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. Club economics. What do I mean by club economics? So last week while preparing for episode 319, because quitting is too easy, plug, I should have a sound effect for plug, check out the episode. I summarized my trip to, Mexico and all the thinking I did while all the journaling I did while I was there. But anyways, yeah, while preparing, the video was going around of that sex trafficker Andrew Tate and his buddies, and like a whole bunch of dude right wing, what's their title, right wing manosphere type dudes, they were in a club together in a booth, champagne room, or not champagne room, but I haven't been in a club in a while, but apparently clubs now have, like, in the bigger city, like, have a special section you can reserve for you and your friends. And whatever. So there was a video circling around. A bunch of Manosphere dudes were partying in a club in Miami. And like that came out during bottle service. And in the background, the song High Hitler by Kanye was playing. excuse me, I'm laughing because this is the same Kanye who did Jesus Walk. From Jesus Walk to High Hitler. What a fucking transformation. But again, focus, B. Right. There was something about this video that fucking bothered the fuck out of me. Like, I nearly made it a topic, but I knew I needed to feel this thing out. Like, it bothered me, aside from the fact that I hated everyone, those dudes, I hated it. Like, it's like, it's bad enough they already have their platform, but to see them in public, like they're decent, like they're regular people, bothered the fuck out of me. I was angry at the club. I was angry at the owner. I was angry at the bouncers. I was angry at the coat check girl, the wait staff. I was angry at the fucking bartender, the promoters. I was even fucking angry at the janitor. Everyone involved. It's like someone should have said, hey, no fucking way these guys are coming in. It's like I completely forgot that. Okay, well, I'm losing my voice. The passion is coming out. I completely forgot all of them were doing a job, but still, it bothered the fuck out of me that they were allowed to be there. And then, so usually when I get in these cases, when I get all emotional and stuck on a thought, I find myself trying to like sit and analyze, like, yo, where's all this coming from? What exactly are you mad at? And then that's how it became a topic on for today's talk. Because I knew usually when I get stuck in there, I'm like, okay, this is going to be something I'm going to talk about on the podcast. This might be podcast worthy. By the way, if you hear all that clicking, that's my chair. I'm gonna need to pass a donation plate for more whatever. Anyway, so where I was going with this, yes. And here's where I went. Here's what I got. Back in my days, I just realized that when I was a teenager, back in my days, when I was a teenager, there was no Manosphere. They didn't exist. There was no Andrew Tate. There was no there was no Andrew Tate. More specifically, there was no podcast, no YouTube, no alpha male channels, no Tates. They likely existed, but they probably shopped around and sold DVDs or cassette tapes and whatnot. But it wasn't like it is now. But what did exist is their mindset. That was there. And in my particular case, the way it was channeled to me, at the time, I didn't realize it, but to me, it was hip-hop, it was Hollywood, it was R&B, it was fucking BET, shit. It was the locker room, and by locker room, I mean, like, some people would say the streets, but, like, any source of information, of misinformation about sex, the opposite sex, all that, right? There was the locker room, and then there was porn. So that's where all my miseducation was, came from. But in addition to the, specifically, I'm going to focus on the misogyny, the status, the money, the women as trophies, women as kingmakers, the men measuring themselves by who they could impress and what they could afford. Different packaging, same logic. Now, the Manosphere, whatever, I'm not going to touch on the Manosphere. But what I'm saying is that same toxic energy was there. It was just a different channel. It was just delivered differently. And this next part is, in preparing for this topic, I found the words, the lyrics in the song, What They Do by The Roots, to make way more sense than it did back then. When it first came out, I didn't like the song that much. The beat didn't move me so much. That's what happened. There's some tracks that I'll hear it and the words weren't, it's like I'm not ready to hear what they had to. When it first came out, I thought them niggas were being preachy. I saw the video. Everyone was laughing about the subtitles about and everything like that. But to me, I was like, yo, nigga. It's like, man, stop with this fucking church shit. Let me fucking part. I was ignorant. I didn't know shit. But now, I get it. Like, it hits differently. They were calling out the culture of performance, of image, of everybody playing a role, chasing validation, mistaking flash for substance. Back then, like I said, I brushed it off. Now I realized they were describing the same world these Manosphere guys are still chasing. Just with Instagram and bottle service instead of video hoes and crystal. Another rap lyric that I find relevant to the thought that I'm trying to process here is Little Brother. By the way, I love these moments when I'm like trying to understand a thought and emotion, what the fuck I'm going on, and a rap verse pops up. And this particular case, because I had to do some digging, is the one that I read earlier at the beginning of the episode. I said, I think I need work on me because it hurts to see every weekend me blowing my pay stub. Always trying to impress these niggas with expensive ass liquors. I don't even like the taste of. I think it's sickening. That verse feels like an emotional truth behind nightlife culture. Not even about the women yet. I haven't gotten to that yet, Brett. But about the men trying to oppress other men. Spending money they don't have. Performing a version of themselves they don't even enjoy. Just to feel like they belong. Now, I'm going to go back. Because this is the part where I found myself like trying to remember what it was like to be a teen. When it was like to be a younger adult. Who loved, this is like completely different, who loved, and I mean capital L, no, I'm going to use the word capital, who loved the club scene. You couldn't talk, I remember thinking like, yo, I ain't dating no chick who doesn't like me, who doesn't want me going clubbing. But I remember it was part of my DNA. Like everyone on the weekend, like even coworkers, like, what are you doing on the weekend? I wouldn't tell anyone, I'm going to the club. I'm going to the booty club, but I'm going to the club. Everyone, I'm going to my, come on, shout out, see, I'm going to the cottage. I don't know if that's a Canadian thing, but I'm going to the cottage. I'm going fishing. I'm going, all these motherfuckers doing like some outdoor activities. Me, I'm going to the fucking club. Can't wait. Especially if it was payday. Especially if it was the same week as payday. Oh my God. And again, trying to reminisce. I'm thinking about the part that I liked about clubbing. It was like the whole having a new, fresh outfit. Yes, that made it bonus. Excuse me. Having a fresh outfit, matching, whatever, matching outfit that looked good. 9 times out of 10, I'd be the one driving. So either mom and dad let me take the car, or I had my own car, but the car was ready, gassed up, well prepared. Making sure I passed by the bank because ain't no fucking way. All right, there was no tap back then. Passing by the bank. And sometimes I would have a friend, because I wasn't the kind of guy who could get on the guest list, but usually I would have a friend who would like get on the guest list. And the exchange was, I drive you to the club, you get us in. So the occasional getting on, sometimes, you know, waiting in line, whatever, but during the cold winter, but it felt good being able to cut in line, cut in line and get in for whatever. It just added to the, he must be a somebody. Finally getting inside and the music and then all the fist bump, meeting all the homies and the you know, cause you know, it's like, oh, it's like, you're always happy to see each other. It's like, yo, what you doing? You know? And back then I used to know a lot of people because of the high school and my dad was all the combination, whatever, man. But I would know a lot of people inside the club. But to me was, okay, we weren't great friends, but to me the idea of fist bumping, bro hugging, all that, all these people that, you know, we pretend to love each other, but you know, whatever, man. It felt like it gave me some kind of clout. And at the same time, I remember, I hope the chicks are noticing. And every once in a while, there'll be the occasional hugs from the females, from the ladies. I say females because back then I had a toxic mindset. The occasional hug, but it was more about the fist bump from the fellas or whatever, right? And then the eye candy. Oh my God. Okay, I say eye candy, but I'm going to use the word spank bank material. And the ear candy, like the DJ playing, like, so that was the, for me to say, to determine that I had your club or that night was great is A, the bouncers didn't give me a hard time getting in, and B, the ratio, there was way more women in the club than there were men. Like I had a chance, and the music was dope. But my favorite part, I put this line, last line is the possibility that this might be the night where I get lucky. I'm laughing at, what's that movie? Superbad. Where, what's he going? He goes, oh man, you know when some girls are going out and he goes, oh man, I shouldn't have slept with that guy. Oh, I drank too much, shouldn't have slept with that guy. We could be that guy. Yes, that possibility that this might be the night. Right. So now I'm okay, because I'm reflecting on how much I love club culture, but at the bottom, that here is what was going on. Despite that, I love club culture like I loved the strip club. In that, the motherfucker took my money. It didn't love me back. Aside from what I just said, but I'm being extreme, because I also remember when I got there. How much I hate, because I was an introvert. And I remember, because I would ignore that voice that was like, yo, we don't feel comfortable in there. I'm like, dude, do you see all the eye candy in there? Like, my need for spank bank material overrode whatever anxiety clubbing would give me. But I would ignore how little I felt in there. Yo, that shit would trigger my insecurity. That's the only reason I would drink, is to like drown out that voice that was saying, you ain't good enough. You ain't rich enough. You ain't, oh man, you fat motherfucker. You ain't got no six abs like that. You got no game. And the hardest part too, and this is where I would connect with them, the manosphere part is, back then, is, sure, there was a lot of pretty women around them, but I knew deep down inside I wasn't going to approach. I would tell myself I would, but I wasn't going to approach them, because the hotter the girl was, the lower I felt, the more I felt inadequate around that person. You know, friends would say, yo, go talk to her. Fuck that. Everything inside me was like, no, fuck that. Keep drinking. I would drink hoping to find courage and you remember, again, I'm not looking at these women like human beings that I could do things with. No, I'm like, look, I have a scene in my mind from a porn flick that I watch, and I need you to help me reenact it. Again, all toxic. And it's, the connection to the manosphere is, I remember getting to a point and finding myself resenting those women for my insecurities, for that voice inside of me that kept saying, you ain't shit. It's like I was like blaming them for that voice inside me saying, you ain't shit. I wrote one, I said that there wasn't enough liquor in that club to make me go away. I'm combining that verse from Kendrick. I was trying to, sure, I would, the dressing up, the money, the whatever, I was trying to delete who, because in my mind, I was like, what's preventing me from creating a connection is me. If I was anything but myself, I would be, you know what? In addition to insecurity, club life would also trigger that part of me that says, you're lonely. I'm thinking about how what I would, and this is where the little brother track, after the party, when the party's over, I used to hate what, you know, you didn't get lucky, you didn't score. I'm like, I'm feeling a little buzz. I'm like, I'm a little tipsy. I'm good enough to drive, but I'm a little tipsy. And but the loneliness would surface. I used to hate watching the that couple making out, because there was that couple making out. Because they would just trigger the loneliness. And I'm like, yep, I'm going to take all the spank bank material, combine it with the porn that I'm going to watch, and call it a night. You know, yeah, man, it was, yo, club life was like an addiction. I was using the strip club, but it was like a drug. And then when it was over, like the crash sucked. But of course, I wouldn't remember that. I would not know. I was just thinking about like, yo, the music was great. The ratio was great. You talk to any of these females? Of course not. Yeah, not enough liquor. Oh, man, I used to hate all that liquor that I drank from after the club. Or not scoring. Anyways, all right. Now, so I've established how much I used to love club life. Now, let me bridge that with that viral video. Oh, my God, that clip that I talked about earlier. So when I see these manosphere dudes in that same environment, bottle service, light, status, women, cameras, it feels like the culture itself is co-signing their worldview. not because the club agrees with their politics, but because nightlife has always been about money, image, perceived power first, and everything else second. And that's where I'm getting at with club economics. I forgot to mention that, I'll bring that up. How, like, there's been blowback to that image going viral. Like, the club is called, I forget the name of it, it's called Verdun, whatever, man. The club had to, like, issue an apology, but the apology was just about, like, yeah, man, yeah, that High Hitler song was, yeah, we shouldn't have played that in our club. Motherfucker, you shouldn't have had them niggas in your club in the first, whatever, man. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? You gave these guys a platform. Okay, B, calm down. You're getting emotional. All right. It's seeing that viral clip of those guys chilling in the club like it wasn't nothing reminded me of this thought that I have of I wish you could get on the guest list for good character, for being a decent human being. Yeah, I don't know, I'm being a child, you know, I'm crying for world peace here. But I remember this one time, this thought that I had, I was in a lineup in a club, winning with everyone else, and it was killing me, all the people that they were letting in, you know, cause the worthy folks. But I was able to accept that, but what killed me is how the people who they were letting in, they were like, you know, group of dudes who the week before, like, got into a fight in the club. And then this week, they're being, like, let in. They're being chauffeured in like they're VIPs. And it drove me nuts. But I knew legally the owner was like, hey, man, we don't want problems with these people, so let them in. We can't kick them out. Don't know why they weren't banned, but whatever, man. Club chose to give them VIP treatment. And meanwhile, I'm in line playing by the rules and feeling like a slave. But I feel like it was my exposure to the real world. Not to say like, oh, all these bad people, clubs love the bad boys. But I remember, reminds me of that line by 50 Cent, one of his verses. He says, when I was young, I couldn't do good. Now I can't do bad. And I think about, like, I'm thinking about, like, all these kids. There's this other video of, this aside, right, is like this video of this, these kids that, you know, they swarm a jewelry, it's not a jewelry store, but a jewelry, what do you call that, it's in a, oh, fuck, a booth, whatever, right? And one kid, he's like the initiator, like he jumps over the window to get in, to unlock the door and let all his homies in, and he beats them up and he beats whatever, right? And I was thinking of that kid who did that, and like everyone in the comment section is like, oh, these fucking kids, you know, the usual fucking kids, this or these immigrants, that or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking of that kid who like jumped in. I was kind of bold of him to do that. If he manages to not get caught when he becomes an adult, those skills will be valued. Like, he's going to be the entrepreneur. He's going to be the bold. He's going to be the daring. Some company is going to value those guts. Yeah, it's whatever. It's wild. Whatever. Okay. And this is the part where I tell you that I'm not sure where I'm going with this, except for understanding why I got so angry when I saw that video. So maybe this is why it bothers me, the realization is that the reason it bothers me is because it's not just about the awful guys in that club. It's not about the fact that these guys are terrible human beings that they allowed to be in their club and co-sign their behavior unwittingly, but it's about realizing that the same system that once made me feel small, talking about clubbing, is the same system that now makes guys like them feel validated. You know, again, I think this is one of those, this is not the first episode where I'm like, life ain't fair. I'm going to find a positive. I'm going to try to end this with a positive and say that, well, I had to go to that journey to understand what the Roots meant by what they do. Never do what they do. Never do what they do. What they do. What they do. Yeah. It's, they weren't preaching. And at the same time, I needed this journey so I can feel the words behind, excuse me, in the track, The Party, After the Party by Little Brother. And at the same time, I want to use this moment to shout out how much I value the Native Tongue family, man. Because they were the only rap group, Native Tongue and everyone in that category of rappers who encouraged us, who were encouraging, their lyrics was to, like, be yourself. At the time, I didn't get it. At the time, you telling me be yourself is equivalent to saying go fuck yourself. You weren't giving me advice. You were just, okay, look, if you just don't want to help, just don't say. I didn't understand the value of being yourself. And I think about it. A lot of the people who these Manosphere fucks target are boys who hate themselves, who've grown up to hate themselves, or like, look, help me be anyone but me. And that's, I feel like that's what they're selling to these kids. A substitution. Yeah, you suck, but let me, you know, what, you can't get it up? Can't get any chicks? Well, Jews are the problem. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like these boys start with a legitimate problem and these assholes show up with a solution. I feel maybe I can make a link between that and capitalism, but I don't know, man. On this podcast, we don't offer solutions. I felt like in this one, I'm talking more about the problem. But anyway, it was my journey. This is my journey, man. I think I want to say I got over it, but whatever. It was worth exploring. Look, I guess if I were to call of action, or if you want to write in and say what, how was your journey into club life? Shout out to excuse me. I'm thinking about the kids that I grew up with and who hated club or who weren't into clubs, and I thought they were squares. Now I'm like, yo. You knew some, you understood things that I didn't understand back then. Yeah. How was your youth? If you're a boy, if you're a man, how was your journey as a boy into becoming a man? Did you fall for the trap of the Manosphere or did you find of misogyny? Did you use misogyny as a coping mechanism? Did you, and all that shit? I guess I'm just, how was your journey? Fellow previous club lovers, what was your journey like? And on that note, we're going to jump to, that's it. We're going to stop here. We're going to jump into final say, the last point, and get the fuck out of here. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, before I end today's episode, I'm adding a quick PSA. Again, if you're my target audience, you're the kind of person I need to say to do a mental check on your mental health. Check on your mental health. There's a lot of shit going on in the world, in the news cycle, and if you fall for the, if you're like one of those doom scrollers like I am, you might want to take a pause and check on your mental health. I'm thinking about Dave recently in the United States. I've heard about the death of Alex Preety. Alex Preety, Preetty. And he was an ICU nurse. And I'm just going to read this post because Alex Preety was a colleague at the VA. We hired him to recruit for our trial. He became an ICU nurse. I love working with him. He was a good, kind person who lived to help and these fuckers executed him. White hot rage. So the person saying this is his colleague. His name is Dimitri. I'm reading a tweet here, or a post. Alex from our time working together while he was nursing school. Later, he moved to ICU working as a nurse to support critically ill veterans. He had such a great attitude. We chat between patients about trying to get in a mountain bike ride together. It will never happen. Look, man, I think it's just, like I was saying, on the previous episode, 319, the worst part about my trip was social media. It was fucking with my mind. I say social media, but the headlines coming out of the United States, just the United States alone. There's a lot of shit going on in the world, but the United States alone, it's like enough, makes you want to holler. So my Impala, because these hard times make me want to holler. In addition to that, I'm reading the book, I'm doing the audiobook, Dark Age by Pierce Brown, and it's part of the, it's book five from the Red Rising saga. And it's dark. What I'm saying is I've been trying to use audiobooks to get me off social media. Not get me off, but to reduce the time that I spend on social media. But this motherfucker is dark. This particular shit, it's dark, whatever, man. And I tend to read this dude's writing like very intensely. Absorber intensely. So maybe I might need to, like, you know, strawberry shortcake or something like that. But whatever, man. But, again, check your mental health. I needed to do that today because I nearly didn't record today's episode. Oh, the reason I didn't record on Wednesday, I might go back to just recording weekly before I go back to biweekly. like I said, I'm recovering from this man cold. And you know, men, you know how man colds are. Nothing matters. I'm surprised I was able to log into work, but that's not the point. Anyways, yeah, I nearly didn't record today. I didn't feel like it. And what allowed me to do was by constantly finding a purpose. Finding purpose helped. Finding a purpose in today's episode. When I talked about the manosphere, the connection between the manosphere and how I think about how I could have easily fell for that trap of joining, being one of their disciples. I say disciple, one of their loser followers. Because, you know, the self-esteem wasn't great. But I just felt the need to, I found purpose in today's episode, which helped. Another thing that helped this week too, is very frequently I'll have an idea for a post or I'm getting better at journaling, putting thoughts on paper. And this week, I had a thought for a Reddit post. I had a thought for an email that I wanted to send in to 3GO and the black guy who tips, like the both of them. And it finally went in. Writing help. That's what I'm trying to get at. Writing help. I'm grateful that it happened. And again, finding purpose in this episode. Yeah. My favorite episodes are the ones that make me laugh, teach me something, but or are inspired by rap lyrics. Like I can make a connection between a thought and a rap song or a rap verse. It gives me a sense of, I won't say purpose, but there's pleasure in there. I'm, just to finish off, I'm, again, thinking of what my intention for this year. Definitely is, like I said, being closer to the mindset of the person who believes that things will work out, and also being more mindful of my mental health, because I know that I'm feeding my brain poison, and more mindful of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to be the ones who are like, social media, I don't know anything. Like, it's amazing. I'm no longer on Facebook. That shit used to fuck me up. I mean, it kind of helped that I got booted off Facebook. But, I guess, long story short, boys and girls, everyone in between, or on either side, whatever, or anyone on that spectrum, everyone on that spectrum, check your mental health, man. Especially for those of us who are, like, you know, highly sensitive, empathetic, it's very easy to, I don't want to be those people that end up on YouTube. And it's like, ha, look, this black guy snaps in a Best Buy. You know what I mean? check your mental health. Because we're surrounded by people who are like, yeah, man, yo, check on your best friends or whatever. Who will only give a fuck after you snap. You know what I mean? It will only make sense if you try to check on your mental health. Okay, I'm going to use more. I'm trying to avoid using more words than I need to say. But yeah, take a pulse every once in a while, man. If you feel yourself being depressed, best I can offer is journaling. Journaling helps. Do you know what I mean? Yo, shit. Even for some of you, like, one thing that's helped for me is I've been using ChatGPT. I know there's a lot of people who are AI. But in my particular case, the reason I'm encouraging ChatGPT AI is because I used to hate journaling. I would write. Sometimes I remember I would write too much, too little, whatever, right? But by using ChatGPT or an AI bot, it's like I have a reason to journal. Because I write enough for this thing to understand what I'm saying and validate those thoughts. So this is just me saying, look, man, if journaling doesn't work out for you, try to use or feels like a difficult exercise. Maybe try that. But you know, definitely therapy. But if you can't afford therapy, then yeah, journaling. That's the best I can sell you on. But bottom line, check on your mental health, like I had to do today. On that note, this concludes today's episode. Shout out to you for bearing with this voice, because I can feel my, I'm going to hit play, man. If that, my voice sounds really that bad, I'm not publishing this episode. With that said, reminder that shutuppodcast.com is the website. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes. Excuse me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up on watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yes, I believe Whitey is the source of all our problems. By the way, RIP Alex Preddy and Renee Good. Look, there's a lot of deaths, unjustified, unfair death going on in the world. But right now, what's caught in my mind is those two. Yeah, because I know there's a lot of people, what about whatever, stuff like that, man. Look, man, I don't know how to navigate in this world and stay sane. That's my challenge. I think that's going to be my intention. Navigating to the world while maintaining giving a fuck, but not to the point that it drives me nuts. Thank you for listening. Remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black.